My fellow Americans, I come to you tonight with a heavy heart. It saddens me and it pains me to have to tell you that WAIF-FM as a community radio station serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or its board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. Now pass that barbecue.
No, you ain't get no more barbecue sauce, Bill!
No,
you get back in this bed!
You shut up, woman!
Quit that barbecue!
No, you're
not.
To the zoo. They walked up to the lion cage. One of them belched right in the lion's face, and the lion roared, "Rah!" The other drug said, "Let's get out of here." The other drug said, "No, no, stick around. The picture's just starting."
It's a Chris and Rob late night talk show with a little introduction there, courtesy of Bill Carty. Bill Carty's the funniest man in America.
He probably
me.
Is.
Oh, it's a Chris and Rob late night talk show where they call me Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Oh, you're just fat and ugly. The phone number is 749-1444. And phone lines are open now. 749-1444. And you know what really irks me? You know what really steams me? You know what really sticks in my craw?
Why do we have to be off on a negative note?
Going out to a restaurant or something. Let's say we're out having, like, you know, spaghetti and meatballs.
At Beto's there on the Linwood or where, I don't know what that's called.
Why in the world would a beautiful girl go out on a date with a guy that doesn't wear socks? I mean, I just don't get it. Ever since I was a little one, ever since I was, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper's thigh, I was always taught that when you wear gym shoes or boots or any kind of shoes for that matter, you wear socks. I mean, if it's an open-toed shoe like a sandal or something or a moccasin, it's okay not to wear socks. I mean, if you're wearing gym shoes, your feet are going to get all sweaty and stinky. And then when you go home with that certain lady someone, you get home and you're sitting on a couch and you pour a glass of wine, you light up a Voda candle, one of those stinky smelling candles, and even that won't cover up the stench from your dogs when you take your gym shoes off. Now, what are these dames thinking? And it's usually Hyde Park and Mount Lookout girls that go out with guys that don't wear socks. What's up with that? I don't get it. I don't think it's right. And I'll tell you, ladies, you go out with me, the old Chris Master from the Chris and Rob Show, I'm gonna be wearing socks when I wear my gym shoes. And another thing, I don't wear gym shoes on dates. I wear, you know, some kind of penny loafer or a beetle boot or something. Something with a little class and dignity, Rob.
I don't worry about what other guys have on their feet. I gotta be honest with you. I don't care if you wear socks or if you don't wear socks. I don't care if you wear gym shoes or if you don't care.
But you and I aren't going out on a date. Now, would you go out with a girl? I mean, I'm not talking about a girl who's wearing some kind of high-heeled open-toe shoe. But let's say you and a lady are going out and you're gonna play tennis before you go out on a date. She's wearing socks, isn't she? Or you're saying, nah, baby, nah. I'm not playing tennis with you unless you put some socks underneath those gym shoes.
If you don't wear socks when you're doing something athletic, you'll get blisters. So you have to wear socks when you're doing something athletic. But I don't, you know, hey, it's a free country, baby. You live how you want to live. And I don't see what's wrong if a guy doesn't want to wear socks. Why do you care if a guy doesn't want to wear socks?
Well, I'm the first guy that's going to say, hey, do your own thing. It's a free country. And, you know, don't let the man boss you around. But at the same time, I also believe in hygiene, and I believe in not stinking on a date. And if you're going to go out with a lady, especially a good-looking, high-class, smart, intelligent, sophisticated lady, like you're going to find on the east side of town, yeah, right, then put some socks on if you're going to go out on a date, fellas.
Why is it okay for a lady to run around with no socks on, but it's not okay for a dude to run around no socks on?
Usually girls are got their toes painted and stuff, and they want to show their toes off because they spent hours and hours just painting them pink or whatever, so they wear an open-toed shoe, which is fine. I like toes. Toes are all right. What?
I like toes.
I don't mean I like them.
Is there something you want to say here? You like toes?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying toes are okay. You know, I mean, if you got pretty feet, show them off and wear an open-toed shoe.
Most
sophisticated females are going to wear an open-toed shoe, and with an open-toed shoe, you don't wear a sock, and that's cool. That's the way it should be. That's the way it was meant to be.
You know, there's not a lot of pretty toes in the world. There's a lot of people who may think they have pretty toes, but they don't. And it's beyond me why any guy would want to show their big old nasty gnarly thumb-looking
toes. I'm not showing my toes right now. Well, I'm wearing boots, see? And socks, if you'll notice. Got white tube socks underneath those boots. And you're wearing socks tonight, Rob, and so is Jim, our phone answerer boy.
Jim would love to hear from you at 749-1444.
Yeah. Wouldn't he, though? This is the Chris and Rob Show. We're going to be talking to a real live country and western singer, guy who sings in a country western band, sings both kind of music. His name is Mike Ireland, and he's in the band Mike Ireland and Holler, and he writes all the songs, and one of them sounds like this.
Look for me, look for me. Next step,
headed for a fall. Skies on that you can see. Then lay me down, lay me down. I saw my family round, and you can't say goodbye to me in the cold hard ground. Because I know love makes no sense, and it's like walking on a fence. Well, the first step's when you fall in love and you think you've got it all. Then the next step, you're headed for a fall. Then the next step, you're headed for a fall. God forgive me.
WIF, Mike Ireland and Holler with Headed for a Fall. Third song on the new LP called Learning How to Live on the Sub Pop record label. I believe the only country act on the Sub Pop record label, famous for grunge rock, Nirvana, Soundgarden, and music like that. Mike Ireland, welcome to the Chris and Rob Show.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, how did you wind up being the only country act on the Sub Pop record label?
Well, I think totally by chance. I was playing in a kind of a rock country band before the one that I'm in now, and we've been talking to Sub Pop, and we put out a single with them. And when that band fell apart, I had to call them to tell them that they fell apart. I kind of thought they'd be a little angry about it. But Jonathan Poneman, the guy who's like the CEO of the label, immediately said, well, I want to come to town and talk about signing you. So I guess blame it on him. He had this wacky idea that he needed to have a country act.
Well, usually it's these record label guys that tell you to ditch your band and go solo anyway. Sounds like you did all the work for him. Well, this is the Chris and Rob. How long have you been playing country music anyway? Because, you know, this country bandwagon with bands like Wilco and Sunvolt and who else, Robbie?
Six String Drag, the Jayhawks, Haynes Boys.
It's called a AAA format or Americana music or whatever. It's all the rage right now. How long have you been playing country music?
Well, the country music that I'm playing now, that band's been together about 2.5 years. But the band before that was sort of... We were probably a lot more like the bands you're talking about. Got together in like 1988, 89, something like that.
That was when the rage, that No Depression rage, all got started, I guess.
I guess.
But were you
so.
Were you reared on rock and roll, or were you weaned on Buck Owens and Roy Clark when you were a little one?
Well, it's funny because when I was little, my parents mostly listened to AM radio. So we were weaned on like all that stuff because at the time, in the late 60s and early 70s, I mean, you turn on AM radio, and they would just play any damn thing. They'd play a country song, and they'd play an R&B song, and they'd play a bubblegum pop song, and they'd play a rock song. So, but I knew when I was a kid that I really hated the country songs. I mean, those were always the ones that I didn't want to hear. I think when I was a kid, the last thing you wanted to be was a country fan. Because I think, as a kid growing up in the city, it seemed like that had some sort of stigma attached to it. So you definitely wanted to be a rock fan.
So when did you finally start liking, when did you finally wise up? When did you finally mature enough to accept the fact that country music is real music?
Now see, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a maturity thing. I think as you start getting older, as you work your way through your 20s, and for me, like through most of my 30s, you start understanding what these people are singing about. I don't think a 12-year-old really gets what He Stopped Loving Her Today is all about.
There ain't a whole lot of 12-year-olds that want to go down to the river and shoot their girlfriend, is what you're saying.
No, and I think if you hear that at 12 or 15 or something, you think that it seems goofy or exaggerated, you know?
Although the getting drunk songs are pretty cool.
Yeah, I think when you're 15, you can understand that.
This is the Chris and Rob Show. We're talking to Mike Ireland from Mike Ireland and Holler.
How would you differentiate what Mike Ireland and Holler's all about versus some of the new country bands that you hear on your country radio stations? Like Little Texas and Garth and John Michael Montgomery. Because people think of that as being the new country. So how do you say no? Well, we're kind of a new breed of country, but we're not like that.
Well,
where does it go from there?
I guess we're different in that I think a lot of those bands seem to have a lot of rock influences. I mean, they sound like country bands with rock rhythm sections.
Well, it's not even rock. It's more like easy listening, kind of the Carpenters or Bread or something.
Yeah, there's definitely a 70s pop or a lot of those bands to me kind of sound like the Eagles, except with different like vocals on top of it. You know, it's kind of a weird thing.
And who do you sound like?
Oh, Lord. You tell me. You'd probably have a good answer.
Well, we think you got a halfway decent voice, which is why we invited you on the program tonight.
Well, thank you.
It's a pretty twangy voice, and you don't mind belting it out. It doesn't sound like you're shy on stage. You've been on tour a bunch, and I know you've been through Cincinnati and played over at Top Cats.
Oh,
Any touring opportunities coming up for you anytime soon?
Well, we're going to do a little bit of touring in October, but it's mostly going to be around just like Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, that kind of thing.
But if you do come back to Cincinnati, I'm sure you'll stop at Top Cats and drink some of those junior-sized Miller bottles, right?
We love the Top Cats. We love Vicky at Top Cats, and she always sets me up with Miller High Life beer, not Miller Genuine Draft, not Miller Red or Blue or Miller any kind of...
As if there's a difference. All Miller tastes like pee anyway.
Miller's...
No way.
You're out of your mind.
Oh, it's yucky stuff.
Chris is one of those guys...
of the Miller High Life.
Chris won't drink anything unless it doesn't come out of a green bottle. He's one of those green bottle snobs.
I see.
Yeah, I like brown bottles, too.
He grew up in a suburb, and now he thinks he's a snob because he's got to drink green bottle beer.
Like those microbreweries.
Yeah, well, like 2 years ago, he thought Rolling Rock was good, and then someone said, hey, dude, Rolling Rock's crap. So now he's just now getting out of that Rolling Rock phase.
Mike Ireland, last time I broke up with a girl, somebody passed your CD on to me and said, listen to this and go home and cry your eyes out. You know what? All your songs are about breaking up with girls or killing them. Or you know, at least they're in that vein about, you know, getting broke up. Who'd you break up with and how rough was it?
Well,
made you write all these songs about her.
About 6 months before I started, you know, making this record, I split up with my wife of 5 years. And most of them were written in the wake of that and were pretty close to the bone at the time. And sometimes I listen to the songs now and I'm almost kind of surprised they came out. But
maybe your next record will be a happy record?
People keep asking me that. People seem to want a happy record, but I don't know if I have that in me. I'm not so happy a guy.
I didn't say I wanted you to make a happy record. I only got one of your you only got one record out now, right?
Yeah.
When do you think the next one will be out? Are you working on material yet?
Yeah, I've been working on stuff. The band's kind of working on stuff. I would bet that probably will go in maybe early next year.
Well, let's listen to a song from the record. This is one of the pretty songs. It's got some real pretty lyrics, too. If you want to call into the program, you want to take some calls from listeners?
Oh, sure.
The phone number would be 961-8900 if you want to call in and talk to a real live country singer. 961-8900 to talk to Mike Ireland. This next song is called Cry, and it's got a lyric that goes like this. Just remember, sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky, so let your hair down and go ahead and cry. Tell me a little bit about that, Mike.
It's a great old Johnny Ray song from way back when, and I like to say that I was a connoisseur enough to have pulled it out, but I have to admit that the version that I grew up with and got turned on by was the Liz Anderson version from the 70s.
This is...
she does it quite a bit different than Johnny Ray.
Mike Ireland and Holler on the Chris and Rob Show.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye, it's no secret you'll feel better if you cry. From a bad dream, don't you sometimes think it's real? But it's only false emotion that you feel. If your heartache seems to hang around too long, just get bluer with each song. Remember, sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky. So let your hair down.
CD Learning How to Live. That's Mike Ireland and his band Holler, who's joining us on the live line right here on the Chris and Rob Show. We're going to start calling it the live line. For what do you think of that? It's late night radio. We're going to call it the live line. The wild card line is open if you'd like to call in at 961-8900. Real live country western singer on the phone with Mike Ireland. Call in at 961-8900. This is the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF.
Mike, looking at your CD here, you look kind of like a regular dude. You're kind of going bald at a young age.
Oh, yeah.
And have any managers or producers or handlers or Jonathan Poneman there at Sub Pop told you to put on a hat and get some hair transplants and start looking prettier?
No.
William Shatner's wearing a rug.
Yeah, get a rug maybe.
Luckily, they've all told me that the last thing they want me to buy is a hat.
Well, haven't
That's
you
good, because I've never worn one, and I can't imagine putting one on.
Well, haven't you seen the CMA Awards the other night and nine-tenths?
It's a hat festival.
Yeah, a lot of guys like hats nowadays.
They like a hat.
I don't think Dwight Yoakam would walk out on stage without one.
Oh, no.
Well, he kind of predated all that big hat.
Yeah, he was doing the hat thing before everyone decided to have a hat.
Before Roy Rogers, right?
Uh-huh. There you go. Yeah, way before Roy Rogers. He's a pretty old guy.
All right, Mike, you got Benmont Tench playing on one of your songs. How in the world did you hook up with one of Tom Petty's heartbreakers?
Our producer knew a lot of people. It was quite an amazing thing to see Benmont come in and put piano on the track. I mean, the man was nice as could be and complete professional. I mean, he listens to the song once, he runs through it once, he records it once, he listens back to it, and he's like, yeah. Okay,
picks up his pay packet and runs out.
He kind of hung around a while. He was very nice, but it was lovely to watch him work.
Did he tell you any good rock and roll road stories about being backstage with Tom Petty and the Replacements were there and then Dylan showed up and they all did lines of coke off some hooker's butt? Anything like that?
No, he was quite the gentleman. There were no body stories.
Did you tell him any stories like that?
If I ever have a rock and roll experience, I'd be happy to share them.
Well, where does Holler play? Did you and your band, what's the biggest show you, any country western festivals, anything like that?
We played a couple of festivals in Birmingham and where else? Some of them were in Alabama, and they were pretty gigantic festivals, and we played on stages with, let me think, Neil McCoy and let me think, who else? Some actual, like, hot new country stars. But,
Leanne Rimes?
No, Leanne Rimes, but let me think.
She's kind of cute.
Yeah, she's...
I can't wait for her to turn 18, though.
Oh, my.
I hate these feelings of guilt.
At least you're waiting. That's good. It shows you have a conscience. We're happy about that. Ty Herndon, I think.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Well, tell me something, Mike. We were talking about the sad, sorry state of young country radio currently, but why is it that the same tradition that brought us Buck Owens and Johnny Cash is now churning out Garth Brooks and Travis Tritt? Why won't country, the mainstream country, pick up on Mike Ireland and some of these other acts that are really hot and twangy and are actually country? Don't we have any keyboards in the band?
You know what I think the big difference is between Buck Owens' time in 1998? I think the biggest change is that now it's all about radio programmers and demographics. I think Buck Owens was towards the end of an era when if a song was on the radio and people liked it, that would keep it on the radio. And now I think they decide what people will like, and that goes on the radio, and then people like it.
Is that pretty much nationwide? We know that's the way it is in Cincinnati, certainly. Is it like that nationwide?
Any commercial country station, it's all about having a programmer come in and tell you not what people will like, but what will keep them tuned to the station so that they will listen to commercials. And it's kind of too bad that really is the goal of putting songs on the radio.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to Mike Ireland of Mike Ireland and Holler. And if you'd like to call into the program and talk to a real live country singer, that phone number... Why do you laugh every time I say that?
It tickles me a little bit. That's fine. Hey, real life country western.
You made it, dude. You're there. You're singing. You got a CD out. You're touring. And you're getting drunk and listening to trains.
Well, there you go.
So it must be working. If you'd like to call in and chat up our guest or ourselves, the number is 961-8900. Your album kicks off with a song called House of Secrets, and it's got these violins in it making you sound like the legendary Stardust Cowboy. What's up with that?
I love the string arrangements. I'm a big Billy Sherrill fan, and some of these songs just cried out to me when we were deciding what to do with them for string sections.
Who's Billy Sherrill?
He produced people like George Jones back in the 70s.
Loretta Lynn?
I don't believe he did Loretta Lynn.
He did
Charlie Rich, though.
Behind Closed Doors?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
He Stopped Loving Her today. The George Jones huge mega single was a Billy Sherrill production. He did all the Tammy Wynette stuff. He discovered Tammy Wynette. He did the 70s, mid-70s Johnny Paycheck. I think he's a really, really great producer.
Is this guy like the Phil Spector of country or something?
Sort of like that, yeah. I think in the best, most positive sense of that phrase, yeah, I think he was.
The song is called House of Secrets. This is Mike Ireland and Holler on the Chris and Rob Show.
Driveway porch with a rail. Outside it's got a lot of what some folks call curb appeal. But that sign out in the front yard means there's nothing left inside. Just four fragile walls destroyed by all the memories. of her mind. Cobwebs across the window, like the gem lights of stone. Dark shadows fall across the halls of the prison. It's become till I step on nails that sting like every angry word I've sung. And I can't bear to see this place where we know the heart of a home. And I spent too long in this house of secrets. There's nothing left. Can't be the only empty house in town. But tonight I'm gonna burn up a little hay. Secrets day.
Tonight I'm going to burn a little hash. What was that, Mike? Is that what you were
saying?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mike Ireland and Holler with the song, Tonight I'm going to burn a little house of secrets down. And this is the Chris and Rob Show. This is WAIF. And if you want to call in and talk to our guest, who happens to be sub-pop recording artist Mike Ireland, the phone number is 961-8900. This is the Chris and Rob Show. Did I say that already? And Saturday morning, if you want to hear some hot, swinging, picking, and grinning bluegrass, check out Bluegrass from the Hills of Frogtown with your host, Mike, as he plays the best of bluegrass, some old, some new, and some gospel, too. The latest of nationally known and local bands. And you can call in Bluegrass Requests. That's right here on WAIF, Saturday morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning all the way up to, I don't know how late, but it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, I don't want to show for the competition either, but WOBO at 88.7. plays a lot of good bluegrass and country, classic country music during the week before lunchtime, like, I don't know how early in the morning until before lunch. So that's always a good time. Mike Ireland and Holler join us on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Mike, when was the last time you cried at the movies?
Last time I cried at the movies. It's been quite a while.
What movie was it?
Boy. It's a good question.
Have you seen Platoon yet?
Platoon.
Platoon. What am I saying? Private Ryan. That's what I meant. Have you seen Saving Private Ryan yet?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
That's the only guy movie I ever saw that almost.
You
made
were
me.
Crying.
I almost.
You were
not,
crying.
No, I did not.
I bet you did.
Oh, I would cry in a second. I cried just about. I'm a very easy crier at the movies. I saw The Lion King 4 times and cried all 4 times.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, you got nephews or kids or something?
Yeah, I had nephews and nieces, and then after a while, I just went myself with people, and I would just cry anyway. But you know, I'm an easy touch at the movies.
Is there anything else to add, Mike? What haven't we covered yet about your career? We want to make sure we get to know you inside and out. Real live country and western singer.
Oh, I don't know.
How are you at the square dance?
I'm terrible at the square dance. I'm terrible at the two-step, too. Nobody wants to see me dance.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask
you. Did you know that there's a place down in Kentucky somewhere where they square dance tractors?
What? That's in Ohio.
That's in Ohio? It's in Ohio?
Yeah, they do a ballet with tractors.
Like really? Like everybody, instead of like doing a square dance in a barn, they all get in their tractors, and they do-si-do their tractors around one another. It's real. I forget where that is, though. I thought it was in Kentucky. Rob's telling me it's up in Ohio somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, you know the outfield is playing Coyotes. That's the big honky-tonk in northern Kentucky. What was the outfield's big hit?
Oh, God. Good question.
All right, we'll move on.
All right.
I understand that Kansas City has some great restaurants. Is that true?
Kansas City has some excellent restaurants. We have places like Stroud's where you can get as good a fried chicken and as good a fried chicken fried steak as you can find just about anywhere. We've got Gray Barbecue, Ollie Gates, who else?
Well, I wish I'd have known that back about 3 months ago because me and a pal were tooling through Kansas City and an All-Star game was about to start. So my friend and I, we say, hey, we got to find a place in Kansas City to watch the All-Star game and suck on some chicken wings, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we went to Hooters.
What?
I never saw a bunch of skanky, thin, underfed women than at the Kansas City Hooters. It was awful. I mean, these girls were like, they were damn near Cambodian, if you know what I'm saying. There was no meat on those bones.
Dude, when you're on the road, you don't stop at Hooters.
No.
We just wanted to watch the All-Star game and get a beer and suck on a chicken wing or two.
Now, I understand that there's a football player, and he used to play for the San Francisco 49ers, and he came to Kansas City, it was Steve Bono, and he said, man, this Kansas City, there's nowhere to eat. The worst restaurant in San Francisco would be the best restaurant in Kansas City.
Yeah, he caught flack for that for quite a while. He obviously had never been to Garozza's, which is like this incredible Italian restaurant downtown.
So you guys got good Italian and good barbecue?
We've got good Italian, good barbecue, and good fried chicken.
Good steak?
Oh, yeah. What kind of thing? Gold Knox, yeah. There you go.
So the next time I'm tooling through Kansas City and there's a game on TV I want to watch, where should I go?
Go to the Hooters.
Well, where am I going then?
Go to the Strouds.
The Strouds. They got a big screen TV there?
I don't know.
Is the beer cold?
The beer is very cold.
All right.
Is there a country scene in Kansas City, Missouri? Is there a burgeoning young country bands playing everywhere?
There's a couple of local, like, hot new country kind of bands. But there's not a lot of country music actually from here.
Do you play a lot of biker rallies?
No, we haven't played a lot of biker rallies yet.
Yet being the operative word.
Yeah.
Are you looking
sure, we'll work our way up to them.
Well, next spring, when they start their poker runs, you got to get in on some of those biker rally gigs.
Oh, there you go.
Fringe benefits are incredible.
Oh, yeah?
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We've been talking to Mike Ireland of Mike Ireland and Holler, the hottest new country band working its way up the country charts. Got a record label in Seattle, an agent or a promotions person in Boston, and you're in from Kansas City. I'd say that spans pretty much the entire country from sea to shining sea.
Oh, yeah. For better or for worse.
How'd you pull that off with a promotions person in Boston and your record labels in Seattle?
Well, she was actually at one point working for Sub Pop. She was like their East Coast office.
Oh, yeah?
And then she split off to do management, and now she's just out there on her own.
All right. Mike Ireland Holler, the last song we're going to play from your CD is a song about killing.
Yes, sir.
Which is a good topic, if you ask me, when it's about breaking up with women and country music.
It's the kind of song you don't hear on Hot New Country Records.
Well, you're not going to get hooked on heroin like all those other Sub Pop guys, are you?
Well, I'm thinking there might be a lifestyle choice I might look into.
This song is called Banks of the Ohio, so it hits home a little bit, and I don't think you wrote it. So tell us a little bit about Banks of the Ohio and the killing that's going on.
It's an old folk song, and I know that there's like folk versions and bluegrass versions and country versions. And the version that kind of got me excited about it was the Porter Wagner version, which this kind of harkens towards.
This is Mike Ireland and Holler. Thanks for being on the Chris and Rob Show.
Thanks for having me.
And this is your music right here.
All
right. Lighter.
I asked my love to take a walk, just to walk with me a ways, as we talked about our future wedding day. And when she told me she could never be mine, well, I placed my knife against her breast, as into my arms she pressed. She cried, oh please, don't murder me. Well, I'm not prepared for eternity. Only say that you'll be mine, and no other's arms entwined down beside where the waters flow, down by the banks of the Ohio.
I'm President Clinton.
And I'm Monica Lewinsky.
And this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. Phone lines are open now.
You notice how cheap gas is?
How cheap is gas? It's still like a buck a gallon, buck and a buck 05, buck 10.
It dipped down to 88 cents a couple weeks ago.
Where?
Where? Hamilton.
Not where I was buying gas. It didn't dip down to 88 cents.
I bought gas at the Norwood Shell a couple weeks ago, and it was like 92.
It's never that cheap at the Norwood Shell. Although, you know what the Norwood Shell's got that a lot of gas stations don't
got? It's got a big bucket, big plastic bucket full of cheap, crappy plastic combs.
Yeah.
That you use.
Yeah, but besides that, they got the frozen Pepsi machine. It's kind of like an icy, but they put Pepsi in it. They also put Mountain Dew in it, but I like the frozen Pepsi.
You know, they're trying this new thing with gas stations. This convenient one-stop shopping thing where they like turn it into a fruit market. I don't think that's a good idea.
Why not?
You get out of your car, you're smelling gas, which kind of makes you nauseous or a little bit buzzed or gives you a headache or something. I don't think it puts you in the mood to go in and then buy fresh bread. Like these BP stations are running around talking about bakery fresh bread. Well, the whole thing smells like gasoline. The whole thing smells like petroleum. It doesn't put you in the mind to go buy some fresh bread. Besides, they're not baking those things in the back of the gas station. I don't know if there's somebody who actually thinks, my gosh, they have a bakery in here. And they also have the Taco Bells in some of these gas stations now. Gas stations are huge. They've changed.
Some of them even got like chicken places in there. You can get like fried chicken or fish sandwiches.
Cannot.
Some of them.
I just thought I'd be like you and just deny what you just said, even though it was a fact.
I was only denying the gas is 88 cents a gallon. I never heard of that.
No, today it was 99 cents, but a couple weeks ago it was like down in the 88. You know why?
Why?
Do you know why gas is so cheap?
Why?
Do you know why, Jim? You know who we can thank for the cheap gas? Do you know why?
We can thank the Asians.
No.
With the Middle Easterns.
No.
The Germans.
No.
The Japanese.
No.
The automakers.
No.
Jimmy Hoffa Jr.
No.
I don't know then.
Not even close. Jim, you want to try? Russians.
The Russians?
Because the Russians have gas, you know. The Russians have big, giant oil fields.
You know, according to Sting, even the Russians got babies, too.
They love their children, too.
Yeah.
The Russians love their children, too. And they're dumping all their oil on the world market because that's all they have to sell. And so gas prices...
What about vodka? They got vodka.
Yeah, you can't sell vodka. Anybody can make vodka. It's potato booze. Well,
They got loaves of bread.
Not very many. Oh...
Well, they got the Mir space station.
By the time they could sell that, couldn't they? You can't. By the time you ship the bread, I don't think it's going to be fresh. Although that may explain where the local BPs are getting their bakery fresh bread. It's coming in from the slow boat from Moscow.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. It's 10:45.
So the dude from
WAIF.
The dude from Aerosmith is at a gas station.
Which one? Steven Tyler?
No, the other dude.
Which one?
The dude that no one ever heard of.
Steve Perry.
No, the dude that nobody ever heard of.
The drummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. He's at a gas station, like, filling up his MR2 or his whatever the hell he had, lighting a cigarette.
Let me guess, nobody said, hey, that's the dude from Aerosmith. No, they said, hey,
that's the dude from Aerosmith on fire. Because he was smoking a cigarette when he was pumping gas into his sports car.
Did it catch on fire?
He did, I think. I don't know. There's some sort of conflagration. And I don't know what happened. But, hey, that's the dude from Aerosmith on fire, doing his Michael Jackson impression. I don't know what
Richard Pryor caught on fire once, too, you know.
You know, I used to work at a gas station. And it would never cease to amaze me, the guys who would be smoking. And you know, sometimes on a hot day, a hot, sweltery, humid Ohio day, when you're pumping gas, you can just see the fumes coming out back before they put the big rubber cap stopper things on the pumps. But in the old days, all you had was just a little skinny nozzle. You shoved it in there, and you would just see the fumes rising out of your tank going up into the atmosphere, and still there'd be guys with a lit cigarette, or guys lighting a cigarette, standing like 2 feet away from that. And it was always my wish that one of them would explode into flames.
Yeah.
But it never happened. Although one time there was a... this couple, this little yuppie, preppy type couple, you know what I'm talking about? Little, you guess what they were driving?
A BMW?
No. We're doing a lot of guessing.
A Hyundai?
No, minivan. What
minivan,
else?
Okay.
And a minivan.
I was going to say an SUV, a sport utility vehicle.
Well, it was a minivan. This is back, you know, this is the late 80s when minivans were
just breaking. Did it have like wood siding on it, like fake wood paneling on the side?
It did.
Probably a dentist.
Anyway.
You know, those dentists really go in for that fake wood paneling.
And you know, this is the, you know what guys used to wear?
What?
Topsiders with no socks. Or
you gotta
them?
Wear socks when you wear... I'm sorry, but you gotta wear socks if you're gonna wear anything but an open-toed shoe.
Yeah, those like little fake moccasin-looking
things you can wear by themselves, and like sandals, hippie sandals, that's fine, or thongs. You know, those flip-flops, you can wear those without socks.
Thongs?
Yeah, like thongs, like flip-flops.
You mean like the bikini bottom?
No, thongs.
Like butt floss?
No.
You gotta wear socks with butt floss?
Why do you always gotta take this show into the gutter? We've gone 50 minutes into tonight's show,
shoes.
And we haven't taken it into the gutter so far.
We're talking about
and now
shoes.
You're... I was talking about shoes. You're the one to start talking
thong?
About... What's a thong? It's what you wear on your feet when you go to the beach. You wear thongs.
Those are called shower shoes. They got like the one.
You are from Butler County.
The one thing sticking up between your big toe and your like long toe.
You find it necessary to remind me once every time we do this show that you're from Butler County and that you're just a little more ignorant than the rest of us.
749-1444 if you know the proper name of those cheap rubber shoes you wear that have the one rubber pole sticking up between your two toes and then like the rubber straps that go. Is that what you're talking about?
Now it's time for a public service announcement.
Hey, I haven't told
that
my story
home.
Yet.
Well, your story's going to have to wait until
told my story
after
yet,
this.
You stinking retard.
Public service announcement that hits close to home. In crashes involving bicycles, it's children and young people who are injured and killed most often. But like motorcyclists, riders of all ages are extremely vulnerable to serious injury. Many deaths could be prevented, and the severity of injuries could be reduced if bicyclists made wearing a helmet a habit. And that would reduce their vulnerability to big, bad, evil automobiles significantly. And I should know because I skinned my knee Saturday afternoon riding my bike.
Wah. Is this guy going to settle the shoe debate?
Hello, Craig. You're on the air.
Craig, are you an expert on footwear?
Well, just that particular kind of footwear. And I think you're both right. I called those shoes thongs growing up. Of course, I was born in Hamilton County. Up until I was 19, I joined the Army, and that's where I learned that they were called shower shoes.
I tell you what, when I reported to Fort Dix, New Jersey, to serve my country, to protect it from all enemies, foreign and domestic, something that Chris knows nothing about, and I said to my sergeant, excuse me, I think I lost my thongs. He let me know right there and then that there's no such thing as a thong. That it is a shower shoe. You have a pair of shower shoes. You wear them in the shower. Therefore, they are shower shoes. They're not thongs.
Well, I'll tell you, before you joined the Army, did you ever wear those shoes in the shower? And have you worn them since getting out of the Army?
You know,
in the shower?
I've never been around people who were just as gross, filthy, and disgusting as I was around in the Army.
You've got a good point there.
I mean, you know, at my house, there's not too many guys taking a crap in the shower. What?
I never saw that.
What are you talking about?
Man, that's probably true.
So those are shower shoes. I am correct.
I think you're both right.
They're called thongs. He just just said that they're called thongs, and up until he joined the Army, his mama and his daddy, they called them thongs as well.
We only wore them to the beach.
Craig said little children called them thongs. When he grew up to be a man, he started calling them shower shoes. It's like the Bible says, when you grow up to be a man, you put childish things away. And one of those childish things you put away is the term thong.
Anything else on your mind, Craig?
No, I'm going to go put on some thongs and go running a couple miles in them.
All right, you do that.
Tear your feet up.
All thanks right. for your call. 749-1444 is the phone number
so
here.
Once again,
Chris
I'm
and
correct.
Rob. Once again, you're stupid.
Never seen guys.
No, I'm correct. They are called thongs.
They're called thongs by little children. That's what he said. Have you ever seen guys that are wearing socks with those?
No,
those are the guys you got to be scared of. The guys wearing the socks with the thongs or shower shoes, whatever you call them.
This is the Chris and Rob Show. The phone number is 749-1444. We're here until midnight. And if midnight comes and goes and you have not gotten enough, Chris and Rob, you can get more now, immediately, right this second. At our website, we have a very convenient, handy-dandy web page, and it's located on your computer at www.cincinnatlas.com. That's CINCINNATLAS.COM. And at the Chris and Rob website, you'll find audio. What do you call them? Audio files. You download them. You click on them. You download them. You let them load up, and then you can listen to the Chris and Rob Show right over your computer. That's right there at cincinnatlas.com. Brought to you by our good friends at the Cincinnati Atlas and Atlas Design Services. So big hats off to those folks.
So anyway, this minivan pulls up, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy, I think it's the guy. The guy goes into the little station, the little hut, the command central, the nerve center of the Coakland station I worked at, to pay for his gasoline. His wife pulled away.
Oh, really?
And he left the nozzle in the damn thing.
Oh, really?
So his wife pulled away with the nozzle still in the minivan, and the gas pump did a nice, just fell over to the side, just nice as you please. Just little leaning tower piece action, but just went all the way over. Boom! Burst into flames.
While you were working at Coakley?
I am some kind of superhero type guy. I run in the back, I grab the fire extinguisher, then I think I'm standing on a lot of thousands of gallons of gasoline. This little fire extinguisher is not going to do anything. I drop the fire extinguisher and take off.
749-1444.
The district manager loved me after that.
Is there an emergency cutoff switch you're supposed to do in those instances?
Well, maybe. I don't know anything about maybe. That. They never told me about any emergency cutoff system.
You worked at the damn service station, and you didn't know where the emergency cutoff valve is.
Well, the district manager was there, the guy who would eventually fire me like 4 weeks hence. But at that point...
There's a mystery that hasn't been solved yet.
Hey, you know, I started to be brave. Because, there, you know, going back to my heady army days, there were a few fires that, you know, I rushed in with a fire extinguisher and extinguished. But I thought about this, man. And everything you're standing on at a gas station is a big giant tank. And it's full of gas. Which,
yes, it is.
And it was burning then. And I don't know, maybe the other dude hit the emergency shelter, because it wasn't a catastrophe. It was not like half of Hamilton blew up. But it wasn't a complete disaster. All I know is, dude, I dropped the tank and I went running to the AB Doubleday's hamburger store across the street. I was going to be safe. I wasn't going to screw around any knuckleheads. So anyway, is that enough talk about gas stations?
Yeah, this is the Chris and Rob Show. The phone number is 749-1444. And while we're talking about fires that just can't be put out, let's talk about Ross Perot. Ross Perot is back in the news again. And I got a quote of the week, and I got information, and I got a question to pose to our listeners.
You know who I always like at a gas station?
Who?
The guy who, like, fills up an old orange juice bottle full of gas, and he gets real pissy with the clerk when they say, "You're not supposed to put gas." "I've been putting gas in my orange juice bottle for the last 20 years, and I've been damned if you're going to tell me I need to buy one of your fancy smancy cans."
Ross Perot had a rally in Atlanta the other night.
Ross Perot would be
night.
One of those guys.
Yeah, he would.
He'd put gas in like a Coke bottle and then curse out the cashier and told him no, he couldn't do that.
The Reform Party, formerly called United We Stand America, something like that. Ross Perot had a rally, and people are telling me that Ross Perot said a lot of really funny thing about the President Clinton Monica Lewinsky scandal, but I haven't heard what he said or anything about it or any of the details. So if anybody knows anything about that, let me know. Give a call to 749-1444 because I love laughing at things that Ross Perot says. Our quote of the week comes from Jim Mangia of West Hollywood, California, who's running for California Lieutenant Governor under the Reform Party. And he says, "You can go to the store and buy 70,000 brands of toothpaste." That's a lot of toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
"There are a zillion makers of cars nowadays, and there's room for more than just Democrats and Republicans. We want to deregulate America's politics." So I guess the gist of this is Ross Perot's not necessarily going to run for president this time around, but he's trying to get more and more people to run at, like, grassroots levels, or for, like, state Senate or state House of Representatives or state legislatures under the Reform Party to shake things up. And so far, the Reform Party does have candidates that are running for governor in 11 states and for seats in state legislatures and the House of Representatives and the Senate.
What do you think the best thing to do is? And I think you agree with me that we need more than two parties in this country. Do you think we should have all these parties coming out at once? Should we have the Reform Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Natural Law Party, all coming out at once? Or do you think we should just maybe add them one at a time?
Well, I'm thinking we should take all those parties you just mentioned, the Reform and the Libertarians and so forth, and put them all together under one big party. We could call them the Justice League of America.
So you think we should just add one party at a time until eventually we get to a decent amount of parties?
I'm saying if all these people really want to bust up the Republicans and Democrats, they shouldn't be splintering off into, you know, you got your Reform Party and your Ralph Nader Green Party and a this party and a that party and a yada, yada, yada party. But just get together and form one big happy party. And even though you may have a little dissension in the ranks as far as, you know, who believes in transcendental meditation or not,
the Natural Law Party does.
Right.
Dr. John Hagelin was our presidential candidate.
Right, and he thought that all criminals in jail should do transcendental meditation as part of their incarceration. Now, that might not go over well with...
I thought that was a good idea.
That doesn't bother me.